Last week's missionary offering came to £3,100, and we give praise to the Lord indeed for that, and thank you for your faithful giving once more to the missionary offering. And there is a request then that all the Baptist mission boxes be returned before the end of July. So that's good notice, and bear that in mind. If you have one of those Baptist mission boxes, they need to be returned before the end of July, please. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1, please, this morning. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1. We're going to enter into the chapter at the verse 5. Luke's Gospel, the chapter 1, and the verse 5. The Word of God says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, I shall be dumb, not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Amen. So reads the word of the Lord. We said last week that we come to a message this morning that's simply entitled The Unbelieving Believer. The Unbelieving Believer. And as noted last week, it is my opinion that even in this generation in which we live, there's a real scourge amongst the people of God that is the scourge of unbelief. It can find its place in any one of our hearts, and it can manifest itself in any one of our lives at any time of our lives. But it is something that we must always be on the guard against. And if found within our own hearts, within our own lives, we must war against it at every hand. Now, when it comes to unbelief, and when it comes to unbelief amongst the people of God, there are many examples in Scripture. So this is not uncommon to this generation and should not be taken then as simply an opportunity to barge one another because we have this spirit present within our generation and age also. Because if we were to take a survey of Scripture, we could have turned to the days of Abraham and noted there the unbelief that was found in the heart of Sarah whenever the angel of the Lord came with similar news that came to Zacharias here in Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1 and said that after a period of time that it had ceased being with her, as was the manner of women, that she was suddenly going to have a child. We know that from behind the curtain a laugh was heard. God heard it all the way up in heaven. And indeed, that was communicated to Abraham. Or perhaps we could further than that go on to the life of Elijah and see there a great deliverance that the Lord brings about in the top of Mount Carmel. But then just one day later, he's fleeing off into the wilderness in fear for his life. Why? Because the Queen Jezebel had simply threatened to kill him. Or perhaps we could think of the children of Israel at large. Their wilderness wandering years, the days of the kings, the days of the prophets, how that unbelief was found in so many instances, in so many hearts, in so many lives. Perhaps we could come even to the days of the disciples. How that even in the midst of the storm there upon the lake, as they rowed hard to get to the shore, their hearts were filled with fear, with unbelief. Perhaps we could think of one disciple in particular. Peter, the one who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But then, in a heart filled with unbelief, was found even to take his eyes off the Lord and to sink into the water when beckoned to come unto him. But for our purposes this morning, we're going to look at this account of Zacharias. We're also going to look at another account that's given to us in Mark's Gospel. We'll look at it in just a few moments. But here we see what I believe is clear evidence of, a clear demonstration of, an unbelieving believer. Now note, there's no doubt about the truth that they are a believer. Because in the verse 6 of the chapter that we've read together, the Word of God is very clear. They were both righteous before God. These were people who believed in God with all of their heart. They were people who sought to live their lives for God, sought to honor God, sought to do that which God had given them to do, which God had bidden them to do, and to do it with all of their might, to do it with all of their power, and to do it as unto Him. But nevertheless, as this circumstance enters in, as this situation plays out in their lives, we find in the heart and the life of Zacharias clear evidence of unbelief. And so from this account this morning, we learn some lessons that I hope will be helpful as we come to consider further what it means to have faith in God and indeed to claim even that which the Lord has for us as we come before Him in prayer. Notice with me firstly the proclamation. The proclamation tells us in verse 11, "There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." The proclamation is given. The Lord has heard your prayer. The Lord is going to do something miraculous in your life and in the life of your wife. The Lord is going to do that which is the deepest desire of your heart. The Lord is going to grant that which is heavy upon your heart. Because He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. And He's a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. And so this angel is sent unto this man of God as he ministers before the Lord in the temple time after time, day by day, and this message is given, the Lord has heard your prayer, and the Lord is going to do that which you have asked of the Lord to do. And whenever it comes to the Word of God, we find many instances and many occurrences of the truth that the Lord hears our prayer and the Lord answers our prayer. And so with boldness and confidence, you and I can access God even by that means of grace that is afforded to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we enter into His presence and as we know what it is to bow our knees in prayer and even pray for that which is heavy upon our hearts, we have that assurance in the Word of God, just as the angel said unto Zacharias, our prayer will be heard. So these are truths that you and I can hold on to. And the Word of God is full of promises. And you and I can find that which is relevant and pertinent to all of our lives and to all of our situations. So whenever the Lord says, I can do the impossible. Yes, with you it's impossible, but not with God. When the Lord says to the children of Israel, I'm going to make a way through the Red Sea. When the Lord says unto Moses and unto Joshua and unto the servants of his that followed thereafter, my presence will go with thee. I will always be there at your right hand side. I will guide you. I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. Are those things that you and I can hold on to and apply to our lives? Absolutely. For the Bible is full of that which is relevant to this very day and relevant to the circumstances of life that you find yourself in and that I find myself in. Call on to me, and I will answer thee. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and shall seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Those are all things that you and I can claim. And truly, as we come to the Lord in prayer, we rejoice and we marvel at the access that is ours, because the Lord proclaims through His Word to each of our hearts this morning, call unto me, I will answer thee. Ask, and it shall be given unto me. Ask for that grace which is sufficient, that strength which is made perfect in your weakness, it shall be granted unto you. Surely we identify with the songwriter. The truth that marvels our hearts and promotes that curiosity within as to why God would ever bow down His ear to hear us. I get to talk to the one who filled the ocean. I get to walk with the one who died for me. Lord, you're holy, holy, holy. And it amazes me that you're the one living in me. Do you ever ponder just how good God is? Do you ever stop to reflect upon the proclamations that are given to us in the Word of God? The truths that are ours to hold on to, even in troubled times. Be still and know that I am God. Do you ever know what it is to find comfort, shelter, repose, strength, grace, help, all when we need it? All ours, because we're the children of God. All ours because God has promised to do that which is recorded in His Word. So you and I have a great proclamation to hold on to as well. Now, of course, there is a health warning with all of that, so we have to be careful not to take Scripture out of context and simply apply it to every situation of our lives at any time in our lives. I'm reminded of someone that I grew up with, and he, for many years, even long past the age where it was appropriate, attended youth rallies. And he did so because he had one desire. He wanted to find a wife. And time after time, he would go to these youth rallies, and he'd search, as it were, for the wife. And after a while, he got asked the question, well, why do you go to these youth rallies? He says, well, just like it says in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 7, he will send his angel before thee so that you can get a wife. He's still single. So we have to be careful. Not every promise in the book belongs to us for every given situation. But the Spirit of God will reveal that which the Lord has for us. And if we're walking right with the Lord, and if we are interpreting Scripture in light of the context of the passage right, then there's no doubt that we can hold on to the promises of God. But consider this morning just the basis of the access that we have. And remember, in our tabernacle teaching, we deliberated very clearly upon the truth that it was all upon the finished work of Christ and our knowledge of Him as Lord and Savior. And so the gospel promises to us what? Forgiveness of sins. It promises to us peace with God. It promises to us adoption into the family of God. It promises to us the guiding presence of God. It promises to us a future that is secure and a past that is forever forgotten and forgiven. That's what we can hold on to. That's what the Scripture declares for us as believers to be consistently true. No matter the day, no matter the trial, no matter the situation. But notice not only the proclamation, notice the apprehension. For if this was me, I would like to think that in that moment I would have been delighted to hear that word that the Lord had heard my prayer. That which was heavy upon my heart, the Lord was going to grant. That which was the identifiable need in my life and in the life of my family, the Lord was going to provide. But we know that not to be the case when it comes to Zacharias. Indeed, as we continue on, it tells us there in verse 18, Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? How is this going to occur? I like the angel's answer in the verse 19 because he says, I am Gabriel. And if you have an understanding of what the name Gabriel means, it simply means God is mighty. I am God is mighty. That's what he's simply saying. I'm the messenger who stands before God and beholds each and every day how he holds the world in his hands and how he grants even unto those who find their place upon this world the very many blessings of life that they need to make it through from morning to evening. I've beheld it through the times that he has created, how he has guided his people, how he has provided for his people, how he has protected his people, how he's never failed his people. And I know, as sure as I'm standing before you, Zacharias, that everything I am going to tell you, everything I have told you, is going to come to pass. But there's a reality that is true for the human heart. It's found for us in Mark's Gospel in the chapter 9. Because despite the very apparent need that was present in Elizabeth's life and Zacharias' life, and despite the message now being received from God himself that he was going to meet and provide for that need, Zacharias reacted like we are so often prone to react, out of unbelief. Tells us in Mark's Gospel in chapter 9, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, while they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he had saw him, and straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy mine unbelief. That's a statement, no doubt, that we're all familiar with. But it's a statement that so many of us live out time after time. Because it's a statement that identifies to us the reality of the disconnect in believing the theory, but struggling with the practical application of the truth. It's one thing to know that God can do anything. It's one thing to know that God can hear and answer prayer. It's one thing to know that God can intervene in your circumstances. It's one thing to know that God can protect you in a time of storm. He can mend the broken heart. He can repair even that which has been damaged and destroyed. He can give back the years that the locusts have eaten. He can hear and do mighty and wondrous things. It's one thing to know it, but it's a completely different thing to believe it. To live it out day by day. Whenever you're faced with that trial, whenever you're sitting face to face with the doctor or the surgeon, whenever you know what it is to have a family disintegrating around you, whenever you know what it is to have unbelievers that are so hard and opposed to the gospel within your family circle or friend connection, whenever you're facing down the barrel of all this perfect storms that life brings and you're out of all the resources that you can gather, it's one thing to know it. It's a completely different thing to live it out, to put it into practice. And the statement that this father gives is a statement of sheer desperation, but I believe it's a statement that is reflective of so many of our hearts and so many of the circumstances that we come to. We know God can do it, but God, help me with believing that you will do it. That's where we find ourselves so often. And that remains to be the biggest scourge amongst God's people in our generation. Last week we noted and mentioned so many of us are conditioned to believe that this is a day of small things, and so things will be small. God's demonstration of his power and of his grace and of his might will be small. That we just have to grow accustomed to much sowing and much planting, but very little reaping. But yet God has said, cast thy bread upon the waters, and it shall return. God has said, go forth and bear precious seed, and he who does so shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him, what? Rejoicing. God has promised that when we go through the trial, when we go through the flood, when we go through the fire, when we know what it is to lose all hope and those around us, yet our hope can remain steadfast and sure in him. Why? Because he will be with us. So undoubtedly, it's a statement of sheer honesty by this father. Undoubtedly, it's a statement that you and I must so often rehearse back to God. But it's a statement that you and I must be able to overcome and get past. Because with God, all things are possible. The writer of the Hebrews reminds us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith, those lives of faith, especially that we read off in the book of Hebrews, that great hall of fame of faith, where there are people in that hall of fame of faith who had days, seasons, in their lives of unbelief, absolutely. But they overcame. Friend, today you must understand that it's one thing to falter in your faith, But it's a completely different thing to fake your faith. God would have us to come to the end of ourselves and admit, like this father did, that we're all out of answers and cast ourselves upon him. His father had an ongoing issue. Zacharias had an ongoing issue. Perhaps you're here this morning and you too have an ongoing issue, something you're grappling with time after time, day after day. Oh, both of these men profess to be believers. But both of these men had a problem believing. You know, sometimes we rehearse to one another that we are always to be positive when it comes to life. That we're to rejoice in the truth that in everything, the lines are falling onto us in pleasant places. But I have to tell you that I struggle with that. Because sometimes life is just hard. And sometimes it's just hard to identify, whenever life is hard, where God's hand is in it all. Sometimes in the wee small hours of the night, whenever you're dealing with the dramas of life and whenever you're seeking to pour water on the fire, it's just hard. And so naturally within us all there arises this apprehension. But the reality is that for both of these men, they knew the Lord come through. That as they would in days to come look back upon all that had occurred in their life, that they would identify and they would rejoice with the psalmist that indeed all things work together for good. Right there in the midst of the storm. Right there when face to face with the reality of life. It was hard. We're not going to get through the message this morning. We're going to leave it and come back to it next week. There's two more points that we come to. But I urge you that if you're finding yourself grappling with that situation in life, and there's an apprehension that is a reality for you to believe in God, to believe in the fulfillment of the Word of God, learn that for both of these men, the devil departed, the child was conceived. God is always faithful to his word. And God always comes through. And you and I, we need to keep grappling until we overcome. We need to remember the theory. And we need to put into practice the theory. We need to be believers who believe in a God who can do anything. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. And we do come back to this message, God willing, next week. We're in no rush. There's a foundation that's been laid. We pray that the Lord will help us all come to that greater understanding and that overcoming faith. We close with the words of my faith. Looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Father, we rejoice that when we fail, when everything else fails, thou failest not. We're thankful, Father, that thou art the one who is steadfast and true. And all, O Lord, that thou hast promised to do, thou wilt surely perform. We praise thee and we thank thee that thou hast said that thou hast revealed thyself as Jehovah. Thou hast revealed thyself as the great I Am. Thou hast revealed thyself not only as the God who can, but the God who will. Help us, O Lord, in our day, in our generation, in our own lives, to believe that and to live in a way which reflects that. Guide us, we pray. Depart us now with thy blessing for those who remain around the table. Bless it, even that moments, those moments together to our hearts and to our lives. For those who travel to their homes, we pray that thou would take them in safety. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.